Our scripture for study today is James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 21. We're talking today about hearing the word and doing it. In verse 21, James says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We're talking about hearing the word and doing it, and James says the first thing that we have to do is to receive that word. We have to accept that word. Now, it is true that we have to do this in order to become Christians. We have to be receptive to the word of God, or we cannot even obey the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." So yes, it's true that we must be receptive to the word of God in order to be saved. But he's talking to people who have already been saved. He's talking to Christian people. And he says that Christian people must continue to receive the word of God. A Christian person must not say, "Well, I accepted the word of God when I was baptized. I received the word of God when I became a Christian," and then just forget about that and resist the word of God in his life. This passage says that Christians must continue to receive the word of God. And to do this, he says that we as Christians must make sure that we lay aside, he says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, the word "wherefore" means that he's going back to what he's just talked about. He's saying that in chapter 1, there are challenges in the Christian life. There are temptations that we must resist. That's what he talked about in verses 13 through 15. And then in verses 19 and 20, he talked about the fact that we must control our temper as children of God. So we must do these things so that evil doesn't enter into our hearts and life and crowd the word of God out. So he says to lay apart, that is, set aside or lay aside all filthiness. And he's talking about moral filth. He's talking about spiritual filth. And the world is full of it. He says, set that aside. Keep that out of your heart, because if you have that filth in your mind, you're not going to be able to accept the word of God. And also, he says, to lay apart superfluity of naughtiness. Now, that is an old English expression. And the first word, superfluity, in the King James Version means an overflow. The next word, which is naughtiness, is a word today that means some kind of innocent, mischievous act. But here, obviously, the word naughtiness does not refer to something that is innocent or cute in any way. The word naughtiness here refers to wickedness. It literally means evil. And so the Bible says to lay aside, to set apart your heart from any kind of moral filth, an overflow of wickedness, because if our hearts are full of evil, there is no room for the Bible to get in there. As a matter of fact, Jesus warned in Matthew 13, verse 22, that when the Word of God is planted into a Christian's heart, if that Christian is worldly minded, then those worldly cares will choke the Word and cause that person to fall away. And that happens to many Christians. Jesus also told the Jews in John 8, verse 37, "My word has no place in you." There's no room in your heart for the word of God. So the Bible says we must empty our hearts and make sure that we clear our minds of this worldliness in order to receive the word of God, which he says is able to save your souls. And notice that he says to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive the word of God in gentleness, in humility, not in stubbornness, not with pride, and certainly not with prejudice, but receive the word of God in meekness. Like the Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 2, "To this man will I look, even to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word." We should have that trembling humble attitude toward the Word of God as Christian people. He says to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, and that means literally the implanted Word. The Word of God is planted in our minds and in our souls like planting seed. Because as Jesus said in Luke 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. And he said that this Word is able to save your souls. But he goes on to say in verse 22 that he's giving a caution here. He cautions us, beginning in verse 22, not to think that all we have to do is just to accept it in our mind. He tells us that if we think that all we have to do is just to agree with it in our minds and never get around to doing it, then we've deceived ourselves. Listen to verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, that same word that has been implanted, receive it. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And there are some people that are guilty of this very thing. They hear the Word of God. They seem like that they're listening to the Word of God, but they have no intention of doing it, or at least they never get around to doing it. They are hearers of the Word, but they are not doers of the Word. And this is an old problem. It happened back in the first century. There were people then that came to church and listened to the gospel, but they wouldn't do it. There are people today that go and hear a sermon, but they have no intention of doing what the sermon says. Back in Ezekiel's day, Ezekiel talked about this problem. He said in Ezekiel chapter 33, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So the problem happened in the days of the prophet Ezekiel, and Jesus warned about this very thing. Jesus, as he closes the Sermon on the Mount, warns that it takes more than just hearing what he has said in order to be right with God. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." In verse 26, however, he says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." So there is a man, now he's describing, who hears what he says, but he does not do what Jesus says. He says, "I will liken him to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now in James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "Don't deceive yourselves," which shows that it is possible to fool ourselves. It is possible for us to lie to ourselves and to deceive ourselves. And we can do that by somehow convincing ourselves that it's enough simply to hear the Bible. It's enough to go to church and simply sit and listen to a sermon. James says, "Don't deceive yourselves. You must be doers of the word and not hearers only." Now this passage, James 1 verse 22, is a theme, if not the theme, of this whole book of James. Why? Because everything in this book really centers on, or is a discussion of, or an elaboration upon, what he says here in verse 22. And that is, don't just hear the word, you must do the word. Now, for instance, in verses 23 through 25, he gives an illustration that talks about hearing the word and doing the word. But then, immediately in verse 26, he says what this means is, in your practical everyday life, is that you must guard and bridle your tongue. In verse 27, he talks about the fact that we must visit, we must care for widows and orphans. What is he saying? He's saying with these examples what he said in verse 22. And that is, you must do these things and not just read this epistle or hear these words. In chapter 2, he puts it into practice even more because he says in verses 1 through 8 that you must not be partial in how you treat the rich and how you treat the poor. And then in verses 14 through 26 of chapter 2, he says that faith without works is dead. What is he doing? He is elaborating on this point that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then when we get to chapter 3, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, he talks about the tongue and how that we must guard our tongue and watch what we say. And then in the last part of chapter 3, he continues to talk about how that we must be free of envy and strife. What is he saying? It takes more than just hearing these words. We must practice them. And then when we get to chapter 4, he gives even more examples of doing the word of God and not just hearing it, because he gives many practical examples here of how we put these things into practice and how that we are to do the word of God and not just hear it. He talks about how that we're not to have this fighting among ourselves. We're not to be friends with the world. He talks about how that we must resist the devil, humble ourselves before God, that we're not to speak evil of one another. He talks about the fact that we are not to leave God out of our plans. He talks about rich men and how that they sometimes abuse their riches in chapter 5. And then he gives a long list of practical exhortations to these people and to us all the way through chapter 5. So from chapter 1, verse 22, all the way through the end of the book, he is explaining what he says here, that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So this is a theme that you'll want to watch for and notice as you read through the book of James. Now, going back to James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, just after he said to be doers of the word and not hearers only, he gives an illustration of what happens all too often. In verse 23, he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer." Now, here's a man who hears the word of God, but he doesn't do the word of God. James says this is what he's like. "He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." In other words, he's looking in a mirror. And in verse 24, he says, "For he beholds himself," he looks at himself in that mirror, "but then he goes his way and straightway," that is, immediately, "he forgets what manner of man he was." He forgets what he's looked at in that mirror. And that is exactly what happens with too many people. They look at the Word of God, they read the Word of God, or they hear the Word of God taught or preached, and they see themselves spiritually for who they really are, just like they're looking into a mirror. When you look into the Word of God is examining your heart and your soul, as Hebrews 4, verse 12 tells us. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So too often, non-Christian people, and even Christian people, come and hear a sermon, or they may just read the Bible, and they see themselves for who they really are. They see the changes that they need to make, they see the mistakes that they're making, and they know that they need to make some adjustments in their life. But then, immediately, they put the Bible down, or they leave that church building, and they forget everything that they saw. So James says, instead of doing that, in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that is, the New Testament, the gospel, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed."